I heard 41 states plus Washington, D.C., at least 5 people from Canada, and our dear friend from Belgium. I thought about the places when you named so many places I've been and thought about those places, and just so thrilled today that when we meet to give thanksgiving that we are representative to our Lord as we go up to the throne. And, of course, on our minds, especially here in America, is Thanksgiving. And for all of us outside of this nation, all of us, we always want to give thanks to God. In Psalm 107, 21 and 22, it says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing." Let us all right now just praise the Lord for his goodness. We thank you, Lord, that you are a good God. I suppose you could have been any way you wanted to be, but you are a good God. You are good and your mercy endures forever. We praise you for your goodness. We praise you for your wonderful works to the children of men. We offer now the korban of our thanksgiving, the korban of our lips, the sacrifices of our lips, the calves of our lips. And we are declaring your works with rejoicing, Father. Oh, how we do praise you. You know, the Bible is so specific about giving God thanks. It's such a part of our lives and of our blessings and our connection with heaven. And he tells us specifically what to be thankful for. And, of course, all of us, we are prayer partners. I count you as my prayer partners. We're all very cognizant of what he's dealt with us in the last year, that we are to, and this is 1 Timothy 1 and 2, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." And then he tells you how you can pray for all men, for their kings, and for all that are in authority over them, in order that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Let us thank God now for our leaders, for our kings, for our prime ministers, for our, we just praise him now. And you can follow me or you can praise along. Oh, holy, wonderful Father, how thankful I am as a citizen of this country that we have leaders who are freely elected, that we, Father, that we live in a land of freedom, and we know that you have been at the helm of it. You have been at the helm of guiding and founding this country and giving leaders. Well, I want to thank you, Lord, for the leaders that we had long ago, for the leaders that we had, for the people who got on the Mayflower, for the people who established government, Lord, when they had never lived in a government except that was run by a king, and you gave them principles from the Holy Word. You guided them and showed them how. It's not the best government. The best government is when you are here. But, oh, Father, how thankful we are that it's free. When you govern, that's the greatest of all governments. But until that time, Lord, Father, we thank you for what we have here in this country. I do thank you, dear Father, that you led them to have the three branches that they have. And I want to pray for those three branches right now. I want to thank you for the president that you've given us. You've given us President Donald John Trump. You have given us Michael Pence, who knows you, Father, and has worshipped you so long. We thank you, dear Father, for every member of the cabinet, for every member of the Senate and of the House, and for the members of the judiciary, Father. We just want to thank you, dear Father, and give you glory. They are only people, and they have to have you help them. They can't do it without you. unless you think through their minds, unless you guide them in the nighttime and in the daytime. They won't know what to do with such problems as Korea, Father, in the earth. But the roasted Makaya, they won't know what to do. They won't know how that the blessings come by blessing Israel. How that you said that nations, all nations, will know their blessings as to how they bless Israel. And they will know cursing if they curse Israel. Oh, Father, how thankful I am, how grateful I am that you have led our leaders to bless Israel, that you have led our leaders to recognize, dear God, the Bible and the Judeo-Christian, the foundation of the Hebrew Bible, Father. We're so thankful. I am so thankful, dear Father, for every right decision that's been made toward Israel, and I ask you to forgive every wrong one, to put it under the blood. Oh, Father, we just want to thank you. Today our hearts are in thanksgiving. We do praise and we do ask you things. But today, Father, and tomorrow and during this season, our hearts are lifted up in thanks. We emphasize thanksgiving, Father, because you emphasized it. And you told us how marvelous it was. We thank you for guiding the leaders of Israel. We thank you for helping them, Father, to make the right decisions. Ilobrasa, for bringing them home to do so. In Jesus' name. I'm asking particularly, Father, for the councils that have to do with Migdal Arbel. I do thank you for that place, Lord, and I do thank you for the place you've given us there. And I do thank you for the favor. I'm asking you the favor in those councils in Jesus' name, and I believe you for it. I believe you for it, Lord. And then our Lord, he asked us, he purposely told us to give thanks for something. And I tell you the truth, this is one of the ones that I am most thankful for. He told us particularly to give him thanks for this. And it is written in Colossians 1, 12 through 14, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, or able, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, who has delivered us from the power, the authority of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. This is Colossians 1, 12 through 14. Father, now together, here we are, representative, and we are giving you thanks that you have redeemed us through the precious blood of Jesus. Redeemed, you brought us back. You brought us out of the hand of the enemy. Oh, how thankful I am for your great plan of redemption. How thankful I am for the precious blood of Jesus. How thankful I am that Jesus came to consummate your marvelous plan. And that marvelous plan of redemption took us out of the dominion of Satan. We can face today, we can face this Thanksgiving season knowing that Satan and the kingdom of darkness has no dominion over us, but he and they are under our feet. And in the name above all names, we're so grateful and thankful that you told us we can rule and reign. In fact, you have commanded us to do so according to Romans 5, 17. And we do say, and I shall go into more detail when I finish this call with my dear prayer partners, that Satan shall have no dominion over us in this Thanksgiving season. We praise you and give you glory for translating us into the kingdom of the light. We thank you, Father, for every revelation that you give us. We walk in the light and not in darkness. How grateful and thankful we are. How we praise you and give your glory for your holy word. We are so thankful that you told us all this in this holy word, that you wrote it down, Father, and we can read it. Oh, dear God, how thankful we are for your precious, holy, holy word. You know, this week, recently a large shipment of explosives coming into to Gaza. They were coming in there to be made into huge explosive makings, and it was thwarted. The plan was thwarted because of some new discoveries that Israel has and a lab that they have that they can. Actually, it was a shipment of oil and oil, a crude oil, I believe, or some kind of oil products, and they could tell by this lab, they could detect when there's something in that shipment that would be that would be explosives or weapons or whatever because of these new technologies. We just want to thank you, Father, for the light that you have given to Israel and for the light, dear Father, that you shined upon those things. It says in Hebrews that everything is open to him with whom we have to do. And we thank you for showing those Israeli people this terrible shipment of explosives that was coming in. And now I want to tell you something that happened, and it's connected with Thanksgiving, and it's two dreams that I had. They were the same dream, and I had it twice, and I had it last Saturday in the nighttime. I don't know if it was early Sunday morning, but it was, I saw, and I'll explain to you what this means. I dreamed this. I saw a pewter plate, like the old pewter plates they ate on in the colonial days, and I saw five kernels of corn up on that plate. I went back to sleep, and again I woke up in the morning, and I saw the same pewter plate with five kernels of corn, and in the dream, twice, I was standing before a congregation. It was a smaller congregation, about like we have out at Prayer Mountain on Sundays at 3. And so I was going to teach that day and pray like we do every Sunday, and I told them the dream. And I told them what I felt the dream meant. In that wonderful book, The Light and the Glory, by David Manuel and Peter Marshall, came out in 1977 and just blessed this nation so, it goes into the history of our country in great detail. And it went into the history of the first Thanksgiving. How I love to read about it, and how the pilgrims who came in 1620 into the northeastern part of our country, how they came in and they really were not adept at survival. And one day there walked an Indian out of the woods and they said, "Indian coming, Indian coming." It was one, it was a man, and his name was Squanto. And without going into a great detail, he had been actually captured and taken to England. And in England, where he lived for 9 years, he had learned the English language. Actually, they had captured him because the king wanted information about what was going on in this new land. And so he was educated, and he had spent 9 years in England. Then he got a ride with Captain John Smith, who had come from the Virginia colonies. He got a ride back to the Americas. And when he came back, he fell into the hands of a slave trader. And some monks bought him from the slave trader and actually told him about Jesus Christ. And so when he came walking out of the woods that day, in 1620 or 1621, he came and he showed the pilgrims how to survive. Actually, they had landed at a place where a village, an Indian village, had been completely wiped out by plague. And they found bones around, the pilgrims did. But it was a place that was conducive for people to live. And as it turned out, Squanto was actually a native of that village, and he was the only survivor because he had been captured and sent to England. So he was a survivor, and his own people were gone, and he sort of adopted the pilgrims, and he showed them how to survive. He showed them how to plant corn. He showed them how to fish. He showed them how to do the things that caused them to be able. Satan could have wiped them out in the beginning and had a great victory of wiping out America that God was going to use, but God provided Squanto to keep them. And I love to read, and in that book it tells in great detail about the first Thanksgiving, how thankful they were, and there was an Indian tribe that befriended them, and how the Indians came and brought venison, deer, and brought and showed them even how to popcorn. And the first Thanksgiving lasted for 3 days. It was a wonderful time of rejoicing. They called it to thank God, and it was in October, I believe, in 1621. In October of 1621, they had this great three-day Thanksgiving. Then there came a winter, and in the winter, another ship came from England called the Fortune, and they'd sent some people over to join the Pilgrims, but they didn't send any provision. And the provision that the Pilgrims had was running out, and they came before the winter was over, that right away, at the beginning of the winter, in November, they went on half rations, so that they cut down their food to half ration so they could make it through the winter. And then it was long, and they got down to the place where they had only 5 kernels of corn on their plate. Every day, a person in the colonies, in this colony, it was the beginning colony, the Pilgrims, they had 5 kernels of corn. That's all they had to eat for the whole day. You cannot live on that. But God took care of them, and they lived on those 5 kernels of corn. Then came the spring. They did one planting. It wasn't very good, and then they entered a drought period, a 12-week period of drought. They were starving. They had nothing to eat. And it was a drought, and they called a day of prayer and repentance. They had the idea, the Pilgrims did, that if they weren't knowing the blessings, there was something wrong with them. And so they met in a day, and they prayed for 8 to 9 hours. And they confessed before the Lord and repented before the Lord and prayed and honored the Lord. And in the morning when they came, the sun was shining brightly. But in the evening, a dark cloud had come, and they began to and a gentle rain began to fall. That gentle rain fell for 14 days. And it, of course, affected their crops. And it affected their spirits. The Native Americans said that they sometimes got rain with their rain dances, but it usually came with thunder and lightning. And someone explained to them that supernatural things can happen from two realms, but when it comes from God, it's a blessing, total blessing. And so then, after this, when the next fall came, they had a second Thanksgiving. And here's the point I wanted to make, and the point of my dream, and I wasn't even thinking about these things. When I had the dream, of course, I went to the book and looked it up, because I remember I'd read it sometime before. When they had their second Thanksgiving in the autumn, of course, they had abundance now, because they'd had rain and they had a good crop, but they served. The natives came again, they brought deer again, and they worshiped God together again. But they placed a plate in front of each person when they served the dinner, and on the plate they put 5 kernels of corn, lest they forget. And then they served the great Thanksgiving. So when, last Sunday actually it was, and when I got up that Sunday morning and then I shared out at Prayer Mountain at 3, I knew that the meaning of the dream was we enjoy great blessings, but we're going to know. God made me to know. I know it's for us, and I believe it's for the body, that we're about to come into an abundance, even an abundance of wealth. We already know blessings, but an abundance of monies to do the work of God, to fulfill what he called you to do, what he called me to do. He made me to know that it's going to come in. But we must never forget those times in our lives when he sustained us through times of 5 kernels of corn. In my own life, I know in our early marriage, there were times I don't know, maybe, I know there are people who never know such times, but I know there are lots and lots and lots more who know those times when God sustains you through the drought time, through the time when the provisions weren't so great. And I know that he, and then as you began to believe God and you saw the hand of God move, maybe it was just a small thing, but you were able to pay your rent, or you were able to buy some groceries, or your daughter was healed, or you were healed. It came to me like this. Don't ever forget the hand of God in your life and be thankful for it. And even when you're in much and you're in plenty, be thankful for it. Be thankful for it. And be thankful, keeping that humility. You never, never want to be in pride. Keeping the thanksgiving that you knew. And keeping ever mindful for it. I'm thinking even, he sustained those pilgrims. He sustained them through the five kernel of corn period. And that meant he sustained America. And that means that he kept us going. Because it could have been easy for the enemy, and he's always been there, just like he is today, to try to stop us. To try to stop us from, remember what it says, why we're supposed to pray for those leaders? So that we can have a quiet and peaceable life. For he wants all men to come to the knowledge of him. And so, Father, we thank you. We do praise you for the times in our own lives when you kept us going. You kept us going. It was your hand upon us. Sometimes we were not even cognizant of the leadings of God, of the blessings of God, but they were there, and you were there. And we thank you for it. And we thank you for when you kept our nations going and when you saved Europe. I'm thinking of our friend from Belgium. And I know in the wars, I know the lives. I've been to the cemeteries. And I know how you kept those World War I soldiers and kept freedom and kept it from falling to the enemy, falling to darkness in the Second World War of the Nazism. You kept it. And Father, we're just thankful to you. We're just praising you, and we're thankful for the hand of God in our lives and in every life that it took to get up to this point. Father, we are cognizant of your blessings. We are cognizant, Father, individually, me, mine. I'm so thankful, and I'm so thankful for the body of Christ. And I'm so thankful for the United States of America. And that today, even still, our whole country stops to praise. They may not, there may be tables in houses that don't even pray before the meal. But they're meeting together, and they have days off from work. And they call it Thanksgiving Day. And I'm so glad, dear Father, that every bit of it is a tribute to the hand of God in our lives. I praise you and thank you, Father, for the body of Christ. And I do know and I do believe that you showed me that we're about to come into an abundance. And we need your guidance for it. We need your guidance for it, Lord. You show us how every penny of it is the part that comes in monies. Every penny of it should be allocated in the work of God. And we thank you that the works of God that you have put upon people's hearts are going to be completed. And I do thank you, dear Father, for every prayer partner of mine that's on this call. I'm so grateful for them. I'm so glad that this morning they took time out to join each other, to lift up a voice to you of praise and adoration and thanksgiving. We are thankful people. We are thankful people, and we are thankful together. Right now, Father, before the throne, you are hearing from 41 states, and I probably missed some, and Washington, D.C., and Alberta, and Saskatchewan, and Belgium, Ontario. We are so thankful that we lift our voices together, and we say thank you, 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 thank you. And Father, I wanted to tell you people, I wanted us just to mostly thank the Lord, but a story in the news has touched me, and I want to maybe see if God won't put it on your hearts, some of you. Did you hear about that North Korean soldier that escaped? He was with a patrol of soldiers on the North Korean side of the DMZ, and he ran away. And, of course, he got wounded, but he got to the South Korea, and they rescued him, and they have him in a hospital right now. And they examined him, and he is so malnourished. And they found roundworms in his intestines and in his body, some of them as long as 10 inches. And they said, this is a sign of extreme malnourishment. And that is the case, they believe, of a lot of the North Korean soldiers. I have a friend. I'm not going to tell you what nation he's from. He's not an American, but he goes into North Korea. He goes in as a businessman who brings some food to them. And he has explained to, he has told to me, about they take some children and parade before him and sing before him who are fat, and but he has made it into orphanages of starving children. And when I thought about this man and his starving condition, and we're praying, you know, for our president to know what to do about the threat that North Korea is now. But I thought about all those people. It is a nation of starving people. And they are starving for the light of the gospel. If you go to, I saw a special on it, and if you even have a Bible or you even mention Jesus, then they lock you away to starve you to death, to torture you to death. Surely we can do something about this. Surely in our prayers we can lift up, and I confess to you that I haven't been lifting up the people so much as I've been praying against the regime and what to do about it, and that our leaders will know what to do about it. But Father, in the name, here we are. We're coming up to you for a country full of people who are dying and starving, and we ask you to do something about it. Dear Father, I know that you are a God of mercy and that you bring mercy before judgment. We are asking you for some mercy, Father. We know that men have to ask you, people on earth have to ask you. And I'm asking you, and we're asking you, to put this on the heart of praying people that the peoples of North Korea can see some light, light of the gospel, and food. We ask this in the name above every name. We're asking you, Father, I know you've put it on the hearts of some players that it would implode, that regime would implode. And we ask you for it in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for every Thanksgiving table. And I thank you for thanks hearts. Hear our prayers, O Lord, and I know you do. Hear tomorrow there's going to be Thanksgiving up from the tables of America. We're so glad for that, Father. And in the name above every name, I'm asking you, Father, for your presence, that your presence would come upon people and their hearts would really look to you. And we're asking you, I'm asking you for an awakening. We're praying for an awakening. And we ask you to awaken Thanksgiving tables tomorrow. In Jesus' precious and holy name, blessings, blessings, blessings upon every one of you. Shalom, shalom.